Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir, Daf Lamed, and we will begin on Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, 22 lines from the bottom. Yibayi Seima. Our Mishnah taught us a din that the father has a right to impose Nedarim on his son. The Gemara had quoted a Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, as from what right does the father have this authority. Rabbi Yochanan said it was a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Reish Lakish says it's from the father's chinuch obligations. Included in the obligation of being chinuch one son, according to Reish Lakish, is the right and the ability to be mechanech one son to make nedarim and nezirus. The Gemara quoted a machlokes of Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda until what age the father has this right. Rebbe said until he becomes a gadol. The definition of a gadol is a boy who's 13 years old and hevi shtei saris, brought two pubic hairs. According to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, it goes until he's a mufla hasamach l'ish, achi gi'el oynus nedarim, which means that once a boy reaches the age of 12 years old and we determine that he's of the intelligence to understand what he's saying and what he's doing when he makes a nether, his nedarim are binding. In fact, it's interesting to note that the Rambam points out that at 12 years old, a child has the ability to become a mufla hasamach l'ish if he has the intelligence to understand what he means when he makes a nether. He says once a boy is 13 years old, as we said a moment ago, he's not necessarily a gadol because he might not have brought yet the shtei saris. But the Rambam says once a boy is 13 years old, we don't have to do any examination, and his nedarim are binding once he's 13 years old. And the Gemara considered that the two machlokes that we just quoted, the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, on what basis the father has the right to impose nezirus on the son, and the machlokes until what age the father has this authority, are connected. And Rebbe, who says the age is until godless, will hold like Rabbi Yochanan that the basis for this din is a halach l'mashim Sinai, and the halach l'mashim Sinai takes him, gives him that right until the boy is a godl. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Yehuda will hold like Reish Lakish that it's an issue of chinuch, and therefore, as we explained in the previous year, the chiyuv of chinuch is only there until the child, the person, has his own obligation. Once this boy reached the age of oynus nedarim, of mufla samach l'ish, that he has his own intelligence, the father's chinuch obligation terminate, and therefore he has no longer the right to impose the nether on his son. So the Gemara then said that the two questions are not necessarily connected. And the Gemara gave an explanation why. And now the Gemara gives another explanation why these two machlokesin do not have to be connected. Everyone could agree that the reason a father has a right to impose a nether on a nezirus on his son is because of chinuch. Also, everybody will agree that a mufla samach l'ish, that his nedarim are binding the rabbanon he, is a concept mid rabbanon. However, Rebbe Sover, osi chinuch the rabbanon, the obligation that the rabbanon put on the father to be mechanech, to educate his child, and as we've been learning, that includes being mechanechim in the concept of nezirus, overrides dochli mifla samach l'ish the rabbanon, overrides his ability to make his own nedarim, and therefore terminate his father's chinuch obligations. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that he says the father's authority only lasts until the child is of the age of a mufla samach l'ish, Kasavar, he holds loy osa chinuch drabonim, that the drabonim, the obligation of chinuch, does not have the ability to supersede v'dachli mufas somach l'ish. And therefore, once the child has a mufas somach l'ish, and he has the ability to make his own naziris, the father's authority terminates, and he cannot impose a naziris on his son. Says the Gemara, Leimahani tanoi kani tanoi, so we say that the machloikis of Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is the same machloikis as the of the tanoim that we're going to quote now. And it's interesting to point out that the Rishonim mention that typically in Shas, when the Gemara uses a wording lema ketanoi, the Gemara says perhaps this is the machloikis, and then the Gemara goes on to prove that the two machloikisin that the Gemara is attempting to connect are not connected. Say the Rishonim, this is an exception to that rule. And here the Gemara says lema ketanoi, that this machloikis we've learned just now is the same as the machloikis we're going to now quote, and indeed it is the same machloikis. The time because we learned in a braisa. Ma'aser Rav Chanina, there was a situation where Rav Chanina shidira over ben nazir, that his father imposed, declared him to be a nazir. Vivir lefnei Rav Gamliel, and he was brought to Rav Gamliel, v'ayir Rav Gamliel baitkoi, and Rav Gamliel examined him, laid him hevi shtei saras amloi hevi, to check if he was a gadol. If he brought the shtei saras, he was obviously 13 years old, but they also had to check if he was a gadol or not. Rav Yosi Yomer, that wasn't the examination. Rather, the examination was Leidem Higia Loinus Tadorim Imlav. He was only in the age of 12 to 13, and he was examined to see if he was ready of the intelligence to understand what his Nadorim mean, and therefore his Nadorim should be binding. Obviously, the Machloikis that we're now quoting is the same Machloikis as Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Amaloi. So Gemara continues mentioning that incident, and it says, "Nina said to Gamliel, Rebbe al tetat star levatkeni. You don't have to go through the trouble of examining me, because he said, 'Im kotnani, if I'm indeed a cotton, ayi b'shvil abba.' So my father has the right to make me into a nazir, and I'm a nazir because of my father's declaration. And the other in them godlani, if I'm ready a godl." That I'm accepting in the zeros upon myself. Omer Rav Gamliel v'noshka al-roishay. Rav Gamliel got up and kissed him on his forehead. Omer muftachani b'zeh shemar al-loch b'Yisrael. He will one day be a paisik. Amru, and indeed they said that's what happened. Lo'yhoi yomim mi'atim mu'atim at shahari rabbi Yisrael until Rav Chanin became a paisik. And way the shita quoting Rabbeinu Israel and the Sharm b'tzionim b'alocha explained the Gemara is as follows. Rav Chanina heard his father make this declaration. And the question was the declaration a valid one or not? In order to avoid any questions, what Rav Chanina did was, he said, no matter what, I'll be a nazir. If my father's declaration is valid, I'm a nazir because of my father's declaration. If my father's declaration is invalid, because I am too old, then I'll be a nazir because of myself. And the greatness was that he had the presence of mind to think of this as his father declared in the Naziris. And as the Sharm Tzion Balocha continues to explain, one is the hallmark of a successful Paisik. He says a successful Paisik is not necessarily one who finds a difference of opinion between halachic positions and decides to follow one over the other. That's not a successful paisik, because who says he chose the right opinion? Rather, the successful paisik is someone who's able to come up with a decision that satisfies all opinions, which is exactly what Rav Chanina did. It was a question, what age? Is he a nazir? Isn't he a nazir? So he set himself up into a situation that it'll certainly be a nazir, as the Gemara will go on to analyze, and therefore not have to rely or not have to come, not be involved with any shaila. And that's why Rav Gamliel kissed him on his head, because he said he saw that in this person were combined chachma, great intelligence, great wisdom, and Yiras Shamayim, which are the two requirements a Pesach must have. Ask the Gemara. And as the Rosh tells us in understanding this Gemara, the first question and answer that we're now going to learn in the Gemara are really very obvious. The question, the answer that the Gemara is going to give is very obvious. And for this alone, the Gemara would have not gone through this Shakla V'Tarya. He says what this Gemara is actually leading up to the next piece of Gemara that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, which poses a real question on the opinion of Rebbe. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Achi Yigia Loinus Tadarim, who says that the father's authority to declare his son a Nazir is only up to when he understands himself, if the Nadarim, Mufla Samach Lish, Hanna the Kamar, that's what Rav Chanina meant when he said, Im Kotnani Eyebishvil Abba, if I still have not reached that level, then my father's declaration will be the reason I'm a Nazir. And if not, that I have already reached that level of understanding, then I'm accepting a Naziris on my own behalf. Ela Rebbe, Domachi Yavish De Saris, but according to Rebbe, that the age goes up to godless, Im Golani, then what do we say when he meant the Golani in the Bishvil Atzmi, when I'm an adult, I'll be because of myself? It's obvious, it seems to mean that it's depending on his intelligent, not on his godless. Because if he's saying Mgolani, if I'm a Golani Bishvil Atzmi, it implies that his father could still make Nadarim earlier, answers the Gemara. He's still in his father's Vishus, according to Rebbe, if he didn't have godless. So why can't his father impose Nadarim on him? El Omar says the Gemara, what he meant to say was like this. If I have not yet brought the Shtei Saris Yibishvil Abba, I'm a Nazir because my father imposed Naziris on me, and he has that right because I'm not yet a Godel. If I already am a Godel and my father doesn't have the right anymore, then I'm imposing Naziris on myself. So now the Gemara continues to analyze. And again, the Gemara is working with the opinion of Rebbe, who says that the father can impose Naziris only until he brings Shtei Saris. Ask the Gemara, Iyaisi Shtei Saris Mikara, if Rav Chanina had brought Shtei Saris prior to the father's declaration, kind of Naziris delay, then his Naziris is effective, his father's declaration is not, because he's too old. Well, if he only brought Shtei Saris after his father's declaration and his term of Naziris, Kaim Naziris Tavua. So obviously that Naziris that the father imposed was a valid declaration. The question asked the Gemara, and we're going to explain the Gemara as Tosfos explains the Gemara, he asked the B'mitzimai. The question is as follows, asked the Gemara. If the father declared Naziris on Rosh Chodesh Nisan on his son, and your Dalad Nisan, we examine him, and he has Shtei Saris. So now the question is, now, says Tosfos, once the child becomes a Godel, the Naziris that his father imposed upon him is terminated. Whereas, says Tosfos, if we follow the opinion of Yosef of Yehuda, that says that the age where the father no longer has the ability to impose Naziris on the son is when the son comes to the status of Mufla Samach Lish, says Tosfos, that let's say on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the father imposed a Naziris on his son. He was not yet a Mufla Samach Lish. And then on Yud Dalet Nisan, in the middle of the term of the Naziris, he becomes a Mufla Samach Lish. He arrives at that level of intelligence. The Naziris would not be terminated. What's the difference? Explains Tosfos. Godless, a child becoming a gadol is a concept midaraisa, and therefore that concept midaraisa has the ability to break the nazirus of the father. He's no longer under the jurisdiction of the father, that his father's nazirus declaration shall have any validity. However, the concept of muflas samachlish is only a derabbanan, and therefore, even though in the middle of the term of nazirus that was initiated by the father, he became a muflas samachlish, that will not have the ability to terminate the nazirus. And therefore, ask the Gemara, if he received the Cyrus during the term of the Naziris, what will we do? And the Gemara explains itself, as we just said. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Shir is Muflas Samachlish. So as long as he wasn't a Muflas Samachlish when his father declared the Naziris, that term of Naziris declared by the father will remain valid. However, Eli Rebbe Domat Shiovi Shtei Saris, according to Rebbe that the Shir is up to Shtei Saris, so if in the middle of the term of the father's imposed Nazirus on him, he gets to Shtei Saris, that should break his father's Nazirus. And Mayik Lameimer, so as the Gemara is asking is, we, Rebbe Gamliel, said what Chanina said was so intelligent that he made this statement. It isn't, because his statement is based on the moment of the declaration. And that moment, he might have been a gadol, or he might not have been a gadol. But something can happen in the middle of that term that would affect his status of being a nazir if he becomes a gadol in the middle of the term. And as the Rishash points out, we can understand the Gemara even deeper, because this is a practical impossibility. Because as we learn many times throughout Shas, says the Rishash, that there is always a concern of Noshru. There's always a concern that the worst day Saris and they might have fallen out. So we always have to be concerned that any time during the 30 days from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until 30 days later, maybe this boy developed the Shtei Saris and lost them. And of course, it's obviously impossible to be watching this boy 24/7 what's happened. And therefore, ask the Gemara, how could he be a Nazir based on this? Tosfos goes on to explain that why don't we say that he should make the following tonight. That if I'm a cotton throughout, my father's declaration is valid. If I'm a gadol throughout, that I'm imposing a nazirus on myself, the boy should say. And if I become a gadol in the middle of the term of this 30 days, it should transfer from my father's nazirus to my nazirus. Explains Tosfos that that's impossible. Because Tosfos says that you can't combine these two very different distinct type of nazirus, a nazirus imposed by the father and a nazirus imposed by the boy himself. And therefore, that tonight would not be valid. So, ask the Gemara, according to Rebbe's understanding, what was the point and how did this statement Rabbi Chanina make help us any? Says the Gemara, Amri, the Rebbe leket akanta. Indeed, according to Rebbe, there is no remedy. Add the Yosef delay. First he keeps 30 days, the Yosef Davu, and then he keeps another 30 days. He keeps a total in 60 days. And this way he covers all possibilities. If his father's Nazirus was valid, so that was the first 30 days. If he became a gadol at any point, so he kept the second 30 days for his own Nazirus. And he makes the Tanai that whatever Nazirus is required, that's the Nazirus I'll follow, and he has one term of Nazirus, and then he has to follow bringing the carbon Nazirus at the end. Ask the Ragachava, why does he have to keep 60 days? Why doesn't he say, Mamanavshach, I'll keep 30 days, and the 30 days should be either my Nazirus or my father's Nazirus. But why can't the same 30 days work for both sides of the condition? Answers the Ragachava, based on the Tosfos that we just quoted, that the Ragachev says that when somebody accepts upon himself the Naziris, it has to be clear what the Naziris is. Each term has to have its own definition. Here, to use the same 30 days for these two different distinct type of Naziris is not halachically acceptable. Tosfos also asks, why is the Gemara asking the question strictly on the story with Rav Chanina and Rav Gamliel? Why don't we ask the same question on the Mishnah? That the Mishnah says that the father could declare the son being a Nazir, and the Gemara should have asked on the Mishnah that why are we not concerned that during this term he became a Gadol? So Tosfos says two terutzim. One terutz is that our Mishnah could be speaking about a case where the father declared that he should be a Nazir when he was 12 years old. There, there's no concern that he became a Gadol in the middle, because as we said at the beginning of our shir, he can't become a Gadol until he's 13 years old. And therefore, the Gemara didn't have this concern. Another terutz is that perhaps in the Mishnah, they indeed investigated and examined the child if he has Shtei Saris when he concludes his Naziris. And if he indeed does have Shtei Saris, we will not consider him a Nazir, because we're always going to be concerned when those Shtei Saris came. But in the story of Gamliel and Chanina, he told them, we don't have to examine you. And the question is, why not? Perhaps the Shtei Saris developed in the middle of the term, which will terminate the first Naziris and not be the second Naziris. The Miches Chinuch goes on to say two interesting concepts, two interesting points. One point the Miches Chinuch discusses, as we know throughout Shas, the Gemara discusses Asaris. Asaris is a person who never develops the Shtei Saris, but he does develop other signs, and if those signs are developed by the age of 20, he will retroactively be considered a Gadol, albeit a Saris, from the age of 13. So he says, what will be the, he says, if so, let's say we'll have a boy who's 13 years old, did not bring Shtei Saris. His father declared him to be a Nazir, and he spends 30 days being a Nazir. We examine him, again, without the concern that the Rishash raised, and see that there were no Shtei Saris the whole 30 days, we still can't know that that declaration was valid. Because it may turn out that at age 20, we will determine that this child is indeed a Saris, and then he was retroactively a Gadol from the age of 13, invalidating the father's declaration. Then the Miches Chinuch asked the following question. What would be the halacha if the boy kept the full 30 days of Naziris, did not bring Shtei Saris during that entire time, but after 30 days of keeping the Naziris, prior to him bringing the Kabbonis, he develops the Shtei Saris? Will the development of the Shtei Saris prevent him from bringing the Kabbonis? Says Reuven Kruzovsky, certainly not. He completed his entire term as a Katan, and as we're learning in the Mishnah and the Gemara, that is a valid declaration of Naziris, and he's going to be considered a full-fledged Nazir that has to bring the carbon. However, asks Reuven, we just learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara on Daf Chav Ches, that if a woman successfully completed a whole term of Naziris, but had not yet brought the Karbonos, her husband still has the right to be Mefer. So you see that even after the Naziris is concluded, prior to the Karbonos, Naziris could be undone. Answers are proving there's a very fundamental difference. By a woman who was a Nazir, she is a full-fledged Nazir. Being a Nazir has really two parts to it. One is while the person's a Nazir, that the person has to follow all the rules of a Nazir. And the other is when the Naziris is concluded, they have to bring the Kabbonis and go through the entire process that we've been discussing so many times in our Masechta. That is what a Nazir is all about. And until she did all of it, the husband has the right to be made for. The Naziris declaration of a father to a son, however, says Reb Reuven, is only relevant to the actions or to the rules that a Nazir must follow. The halachas of Kabbonis are never relevant to the son. Because the rule, the halacha is, says Reb Reuven, that if a father imposes Nazirus on the son, the obligation to bring on the Kabbonis is the father's obligation, not the son's obligation. And therefore, once the son completed his term of Nazirus, he already finished his thing, because the Kabbonis are not part of his Nazirus. The Kabbonis are not related to him. The Kabbonis are related to his father. There are two Gersos in learning our Mishnah, the Gersa of the Taisus and the Rosh, and the Gersa of the Mefarish. We will follow the Gersa of Taisus and the Rosh in understanding the Mishnah and the Gemara. It says the Mishnah, Ish Megalech al Naziris Aviv. There are times where a son can use the money that his father set aside to bring Kabbonis of Naziris. However, any Ish Megalech al Naziris Aviv, a daughter can't use the father's money. And the Mishnah first explains Taisus and the Rosh, the case where a son cannot use his father's Nazirus funds. Kate said, Misha ha-Yehuv aviv Nazirim, if he and his father were both Nazirim, v'hifrish ma'as tumim al-Nazirosai, and the father set aside money, even unspecified money, for the kabbonis that he has to bring at the conclusion of his Nazirus, umeis, and he passes away before he concludes his Nazirus, there halacha is, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Hara'elu Yiplu Nadava, these money should fall for Oilus Ketzim Mizbeach. For this is a situation for Einze Megalech al Naziris Aviv, where a son cannot use his father's funds. And the reason explains the Sfasemis and the Briskarov, they both say the same explanation, is that since the son had already his own independent obligation, he cannot use his father's funds to fulfill his own independent prior obligation. However, Ezish Megaleich al Naziris Aviv, what is the situation that one can use funds that were set aside by his father? Mishaya Aviv Nazir, in a situation where the father was a Nazir, Bifresh Aviv Maas Tumim Nazirosai, and the father set aside funds for his Naziris, or Vemeis, and he passes away before he could complete his Naziris and bring the Kabbonis. Vomer, and then the son says, Hareni Noza Amanasha Galeach Amais Abba. Son says, I'll accept a Naziris upon myself in order to use these funds that my father had set aside but was never able to use. And the Sfasemis, following his line of reasoning, says that it's not just enough that the son says, you know, I'm going to be a Nazir. And since he has the funds that his father had left over, he'll use his father's funds. That would not be acceptable, says the Sfasemis. Rather, the situation is that the son explicitly says, I'm becoming a Nazir in order to be able to use the money that is being left here, that was left by my father not used. So I want to be able to use those money for the intention my father had with that money. My father's intention was that money should be used for carbon Naziris, and that's why I'm accepting Naziris myself. Then and only then, says the Sfas Emes, an explanation in the Mishnah, can the son use the father's funds. Hu shemegaleach, zeh shemegaleach al Naziris aviv, he could use his father's funds. We also learned earlier, just to review, that had the father designated mas mufroshim, if he had designated animals, or even if he had not specifically designated animals, he had just designated specific sums of money, this for the carbon chatos, this sum for the carbon oilo, this sum for the carbon shlomim, then the halacha is that the son can never use the father's money, rather the chatos goes liyam ha-melech, and the oilo and shlomim, we bring an oilo with shlomim with them. Ask the Gemara, my tama. And there's a machlokes rishonim, how to understand this question of my tama. The Rosh explains that the Gemara's question is, how could a son use the father's funds? We know that the halacha throughout Shas is karbonoi. You can't fulfill your own obligations with your father's carbon. Others explain that the Gemara's question is, why are we differentiating between the son and a daughter? That only a son can use the father's funds and not a daughter. Answers Rabbi Yochanan, halachi ben Nazir. It's halacha l'maaseh m'Sinai that the son can use the father's funds for his own carbon, even though typically he can't. Ask the Gemara, if so, we need to understand, and again, we'll follow the opinion of the Rosh in understanding the Gemara. If so, ask the Gemara, pshita, it's obvious that only the son can use the father's money and not the daughter. For only the son is the Yairish, not the daughter. Pshita, Maila Memra. Why did the Mishnah have to say that the daughter doesn't can't use the fund? The Ben Yairish is Aviyah, Basloi. The son is the inheritor and not the daughter. So obviously only the son can use the father's funds and not the daughter. The Shita, however, explains the Gemara as follows. The Gemara first asks, why does a son use the father's money and not the daughter? And that the Gemara answered, Halach Lamash Masinai. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, so then why did the Mishnah have to say anything about the daughter? It's obvious that the daughter is not the Yairish. And says the Gemara, L'tzricha D'lesle Elabas. The Mishnah is teaching us that if someone only left over daughters, Maratem Yorshin Gemirulai, we should think, perhaps, that this is connected to Hilchus Yerusha, and we know that the halacha is that when one leaves over only daughters, then his daughters are his Yorshin. K'mashman halacha. That's what the halacha L'moshe M'sinai teaches us, that this is not connected completely to Hilchus Yerusha, and therefore, even if the father only left over daughters, the halacha is that the daughter does not inherit the father's money for Naziris. And in understanding the Gemara, the Sfasemis says, even though our Gemara is clearly teaching us that the halacha L'moshe M'sinai says that we should not completely connect the din of our Mishnah to Hilchus Yerusha, we should not understand, says the Sfas Emes, that the Gemara means to completely separate and distinguish this din from all Hilchus Yerusha. Because as we're going to see further in the Gemara does connect this Shaila to Hilchus Yerusha in certain situations. Rather, what the Gemara is saying is, we don't completely follow the model of Hilchus Yerusha. And therefore, the Sfas Emes is left with some interesting questions. One question he asks is, what is this strictly father to son? What will be the halacha if a mother had declared herself to be a Nazira and died prior to using the Ma'as Tumim? Can her son use those funds for Naziris that he declares upon himself after her death? If it's connected to Yerusha, maybe then he can. Or maybe we should say the Mishnah is speaking about one specific rule and only that specific rule. Another Shaila, the Sfas Emes asks, what will be the din? Our Mishnah speaks about a son. What will be the halacha if somebody didn't leave over any children, but he left over grandsons? Will a grandson be able to use the funds that his grandfather left over? Again, to what degree are we separating this halacha from Hilchus Yerusha, or are we not separating this from Hilchus Yerusha? So our Mishnah, as we learned the Mishnah, following the opinion of Tosfos and the Rosh, is we're distinguishing between the Naziris that the son had accepted upon himself prior to the father's death versus Naziris that the son accepted upon himself only after his father passed away. Ibailu, and now they ask, Pligi Rabban Alei Rabbi Yossi, Alei Pligi, do Rabban disagree with Rabbi Yossi or not? And if we're going to say that they do disagree, a ratio is safer. Do they disagree in the ratio and say that a son could always use his father's funds, even if he was a Nazir while his father was alive? Or do they disagree and hold that the son can never use the father's funds, even if he became a Nazir after the father's death? Says the Gemara Tashma, the following braisa answers this question. The braisa says, when can a son use his father's fund? Somebody's father was a Nazir. And the father separated Ma'as Tumim for his Nazirus and passed away. And then the son says, I want to use those funds for my own Naziris that I'm declaring now after my father's death, that's the case when somebody can use his father's funds. However, he was a Nazir while his father was alive, and his father separated money for his Naziris and he passed away. Since he was already a Nazir while his father was alive, he cannot accept upon himself, use his father's funds. Not only do they say that if he declared himself to be a Nazir after his father's death, can he use the Mas Tumim that his father set aside, but even if he declared himself to be a Nazir while his father was still alive and a Nazir, they hold that he could use the father's funds. By Rava. So now Rava asks, Yesh leshnei banim nazir mahu. What would happen if the father left over two sons? Do we say hilchsa gemirin la? Do we have a halachal mashma Sinai called the kodim gilach gilach? Whoever obligation comes first, that's the one that could use the father's funds. And there's a machlokes rishonim to understand what is called the kodim mean. Doesn't mean whoever accepted upon himself Naziris first, that's the one that could use the father's funds. Or do we say the one who brings kabbanos first? Because these two dates, these two concepts aren't necessarily the same. It could be the first one brother accepted upon himself Naziris first, but let's say he accepted upon himself on Rosh Chodesh Nissan a 60-day Naziris. The second brother accepted upon himself on Tezvav Nissan a 30-day Naziris. So the first brother's Naziris came first. But as far as ending the Naziris, the second brother's Naziris will end on Tezvav Iyar, whereas the other brother's Naziris will only end on Rosh Chodesh Siva. So the Machlokes how to understand called the Kodem Gilach. Do we say Allah Almighty Messina says the first son uses the money? Or Dilma Yerusha Gemirin La? Or is this connected to Hilchis Yerusha? And since it's connected to Hilchis Yerusha, because as we said in the name of this Fasemis, that although the Gemara at the beginning of the Gemara clearly said and clearly showed us that it's not totally connected to Hilchis Yerusha, and that's why the Mishnah already says that a daughter can't use the funds of a father, that doesn't necessarily mean, says the Sfasemis, that it's completely separated from Hilchis Yerusha. And therefore, maybe, as far as the sons are concerned, we ought to apply Hilchis Yerusha or Pal Gehava, and they should share the money the father left over. However, the Sfasemis clearly indicates that let's say we had such a situation where the father left over funds, Ma'astumim of Naziris. And we'll mention an easy situation. And only one of the sons declared himself to be a Nazir after the passing of his father and uses those funds. The other brothers have no right, says the Sfasemis, to say that those funds that you used from my father's estate should be considered as part of your Yerusha in calculating what share every brother receives. Continues the Gemara with the same line. It was following to some degree Hilchis Yerusha. By Rava, Bechor Pashat Mai, if the father left over a son who's a Bechor, then normally we know a Bechor gets a double portion of the father's inheritance. And he left over another son who's not a Bechor. Do we say Hilchis Gemirin Lei, that this halacha, that a son can use the father's funds, are halacha l'mash m'sinai, v'lkech l'ibay g'lucha l'fum mai d'shakel, and therefore he does not get his regular share of the inheritance, his double share, or maybe this can be considered a Yerusha, just like in all of the inheritance that the father leaves over, he gets a double portion. Here too, he will get a double share if a number of brothers in the Zirim, he'll get twice as much as any other brother. And again, there are two approaches I saw in the Achronim explaining the Gemara. We have the approach that we've been following, the approach of the Sfasemis, who says that we clearly saw at the beginning of the Sugya that this halacha is not completely connected to Hilchis Yerusha, and therefore the halacha of Hilchis Yerusha of a Bechor will not apply here. Or the Merem Yisrada says that we find that a Bechor does not always get Pishnayim. The halacha is that a Bechor does not get Pishnayim Beroy, something that the father did not have actually on hand when he passed away. The Bechor does not get Pishnayim. The question here is, what do we say here? Is this halacha mashma sinai also fall into the category of items that are roi that the son, the Bechor, should not get double? Imtim Sulaima, continues the Gemara, that we will apply Hilchos Yerusha. Imtim Sulaima Yerusha hi ulfum de shakam galeach, and therefore the Bechor gets a double portion. Maybe we'll say, Bechulin hu de islei pishnayim abaheg de shloi. And the way the Rosh explains the Gemara, the Machlokes Rosh and Tosfos, how to understand the Gemara. The Rosh says that this Imtim Tzolomer is actually just an amplification of the question that we're explaining. And the Gemara is saying that although a Bechor typically gets a double portion, that's maybe only by Chulin. But here we were referring to Hegdish, items that are going to be used for carbon. The Halacha Pishnayim doesn't apply. Or we could suggest, since it becomes his that he could use it to satisfy his kabbalah's obligation, that's how the Rosh explains the Gemara. Tosfos explains the Gemara. What the Gemara is saying is as follows, that even if we'll say that the Bechor get Pishnayim, perhaps in a situation where the father used the word kabbalah, in other words, the father, when he designated the money, could have used two different types of languages. He could have either said Mos Elu Nezerosai, or he could have said Mos Elu Lekarbin Nezerosai. And according to Tosfos, the Gemara's question is like this: it could well be that if the father only used the language of Mos Elu Nezerosai, since he didn't use the word carbon, that's where the Bechor will be entitled to his double share. But if the father used, as the Gemara, the word kabonos nezerosai, so use the word carbon hegdish, there he doesn't get the double portion, or maybe it makes no difference. Another question: aviv nazir oilam v'hu nazir stam. The father had accepted upon himself a nazirus oilam, which we learned early in the Masechta means that he's a nazir for the duration of his life. However, every year he could cut his hair and bring kabonos, and he accepted upon himself a regular nazirus, or vice versa. Aviv nazir stam v'hu nazir oilam. My, what is the halacha? Kigmirin hilchos kestam naziris. Does the halacha teach this? Does this halacha l'mashma sinai apply? Or not apply then? Or dama lashna? And as Tosfos explains, certainly if the son is a nazir olam, and the father is a nazir olam, according to Tosfos, the Gemara would have no question. Certainly then the son could use the father's funds. It's only, says Tosfos, because they're not the same type of nazir. One is a nazir oilam and one is a regular nazir. That's how Tosfos explains. However, there are other rishonim that say that the Gemara's question would even be in a case where they were both nazir oilam. And the Gemara's question would be that perhaps only in the case where they're both nazir oilam, only in the case where they're regular nazir, was the halacha l'mashma sinai stated that the son could use the father's funds in no other circumstances. Intim tzloim ha'chav idi nazirus tahara. Again, Tosfos has two pshatim in this Gemara. In a case where the son was a nazir, a regular nazir, and the father was a regular nazir, that's where the halacha would be that the son can use the father's funds. Boyer of Ashi, aviv nazir. What would be the halacha if the father is a nazir tamei, v'hu nazir tor, or aviv nazir tor, v'hu nazir tamei, mai teikum? And the Tosfos says two pshatim. One pshat is that the father was a nazir tamei. We know that if a nazir becomes tamei, the halacha is he forfeits his days of naziris, and he has to bring three kabbonis, two of a bird, and one as an animal. Chatas oil of birds, osham an animal. And that's what happened to the father. He was a nazir who had become tamei, designated money for those kabbonis, passed away. And the Gemara is asking, says Tosfos, could the son, who's not a nazir tamei, but rather as a Nazir Tahor use those funds. Obviously he'll need more money, because a Nazir Tahor has to bring three animals, and the Nazir Tamei brings two birds and one animal, but he'll start with the father's money and supplement with his own money to use for his Naziris, even though they're very different. This is a Nazir Tahor and this is a Nazir Tamei. That's Taisus' first pshat. But Taisus himself and many Rishonim question this pshat, because they say that even if we're learning that a son can use the father's funds, Naziris Tahara and Naziris Tumah are so two different concepts that one cannot ever think that one that they should be connected and be used for the same purpose. And therefore, Taisus has another pshat. Taisus says pshat in the Gemara is that let's say the father history was as follows. He became a Nazir, he became Tamei, brought the kabbonis that a Nazir Tamei has to bring, then resumed his Naziris, set aside Mar Stumim for the concluding kabbonis, and passed away before he can use him. The son, however, did not have such a complicated history. He was a Nazir that didn't become Tamei. Since the Gemara says Taisus in this pshat, their histories are not identical. The father was a Nazir only after first being a Nazir Tamei, whereas the son was never Nazir Tamei. So then we say perhaps that he doesn't inherit his father's funds. Or do we say, since the funds that are being inherited were set aside for Naziris Tahara, the fact that they weren't identical history will not make a difference? And the Karen Ira says that if we follow this pshat in the Gemara, the question could go the other way also. Meaning that let's say this father was a simple case of Nazir Tahor that never got a chance to bring his kabbonis, and the son had a history of being a Nazir Tamei and then a Nazir Tahor. The Gemara's question would also be, since the histories are not identical, perhaps then the halacha we learned in the Mishnah that the son can use the father's funds will not apply. Hanu lach misha amar, hanu lach misha amar, hanu lach misha amar.